Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Rob Lux to the broadcast. Rob is the Chief Information Officer at Freddie Mac, a financial services corporation that specializes in commercial and residential mortgages with more than $60 billion in annual revenue. In that role, he leads the development of the technology-enabled capabilities that drive America's modern-day mortgage market. Prior to Freddie Mac, Rob served as a principal at Towers Watson, where he led the Risk and Financial Services IT division. He also held the position of chief architect at GMAC Financial Services, among other leadership roles. Rob received a bachelor's degree in commerce and engineering from Drexel University and a master's degree in management of technology from the University of Pennsylvania. I recently caught up with Rob in his office at Freddie Mac's headquarters in McLean, Virginia, and our conversation covered world-class IT principle one, people, as we discussed how the IT team has helped the company built itself back following the financial crisis of the last decade. Principle three, project and portfolio management, as we discussed Freddie Mac's implementation of agile practices, which has allowed it to tackle multiple massive projects in recent months. Principle four, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed how IT has woven itself into the strategic knitting of the company, how the business technology officer role has enhanced business outcomes, and how technology savviness has grown across the enterprise, along with a variety of other topics. This interview is part of a series of interviews with financial services chief information officers conducted in concert with CIO Straight Talk magazine. Please look for the series in print at straighttalk.hcltech.com. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much.
Rob Lux, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure.
For me as well, Rob. It's been quite a summer for your team. You've been working on a lot of very interesting products on behalf of the organization. More generally speaking, loan advisor suites, common securitization platform, dealer portal, all recent developments within the organization, all of them with IT's fingerprints all over them. I'd love to maybe begin there, Rob, with some of these recent announcements, some of the innovative things that the IT department's doing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it has been a really busy July, and obviously there's been a lot of months prior to July leading up to these big releases. It's been a really good year. We've been working with our partners, our business partners in single family, and it's a symbiotic relationship. We are have been working together on this. And the mission of Freddie is really twofold. One, a better Freddie Mac, and two, a better housing finance system. Those are the dual goals everyone in single family and IT and at Freddie are focused on. And the releases, I'll touch on each of them a bit and how they tie to that, but Loan Advisor Suite is all about making a better Freddie Mac for our customers, making it easier for them to deliver loans to us. And to give you a sense, our business is basically we buy loans from banks and seller servicers. We package them up into securities, which we guarantee the payment of principal interest on, and then we sell them to investors. That allows us to create a more liquid market so that the banks don't have to portfolio the loans and they can make more loans with the money they get from selling them to us. So it's called the secondary mortgage market. What Loan Advisor Suite does is it takes that whole production process for our seller servicers and it makes it transparent as to what do we need from them, and that when they sell us a loan, they will be certain that we will purchase the loan and we're certain that the loan we're getting is of high quality, right? The production process quality is there. So Loan Advisor Suite has multiple modules. It basically does it. It takes you through the whole life cycle of the loan process, and it gives them a very simple, easy to use, easy to understand portal that they can track the progress of the loan, right? It's a little more complex, but I kind of equate it to like the Domino pizza oven, you know, the Domino pizzas ticker where they, you can understand where you stand in the process. They can do that, but for millions of loans. So it's a bit of a different scale and a bit more complex. The other one you mentioned, Common Securitization Platform, CSP, that's something that it's going into parallel testing right now. We've moved the next phase of CSP up. CSP basically is an industry platform for the securitization of loans. Currently today, Freddie has our process for securitizing loans. Fannie has a different process. Our systems, we have our own unique systems to do that. And our conservator and regulator, the FHFA, said to us, we want to create an industry utility. And that's what the CSP is going to be. We're going to go first. Like I said, on schedule, we released this to production. So now we're ready to start parallel testing. We're going to be doing parallel testing starting mid next month. And it's going to go on through November, at which time we'll be doing release one of the CSP. Fannie, I believe, is coming sometime in 2018. So that's the CSP. Another one is just, it was one that actually surprised me as part of single security. Single security is designed, again, to create a single security for the industry. Right now, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae have different securities. And that basically impacts the taxpayer directly because of the differentiation in securities. After single security, that goes away. And we were the first to release a dealer exchange portal where dealers could come up, external dealers, and trade in securities. So they can change our participating certificate for a giant or whatever. That surprised me in that what a great response it got. Dealers have been calling us saying how the self-service capabilities are off the charts from a customer satisfaction perspective. So it was a bit of a surprise because we released it just saying, now we need to like make sure this thing works and like we can get out of the marketplace and, you know, the dealers, we doubt they'll even really use it that much. They'll probably still do the old way of phoning up people or sending in emails. They're using it and they're liking it, which was a pleasant surprise. So those are like just three of the things that just happened in the last month.
And a couple of things I want to talk about. Number one is the scale of these by IT project standards. These are pretty significant. And number two, you started to talk about some of the partnership that exists between IT and other organizations. And, you know, as I speak to CIOs, oftentimes when projects like these arise, IT's role in this might be some of the plumbing associated with the projects, but not necessarily getting into the strategic knitting of the creation of those. Yeah. Can you talk a bit about the scale as well as IT's role in partnering with other parts of the organization?
Sure. We have a definition here, but I'll just call it for external use, big projects, yes. Right? Big at Freddie, we are a Fortune 50 company. We have a large balance sheet, and basically for our scale, we only have 5,000 employees. So when we say big, it's pretty big compared to like a lot of other companies. We're talking Fortune 50 big. So the thing that I would say is we look at it with our business partners as a collaboration. It's not like the business does all the work and they basically look to us to maintain. We literally are there with them when the solution is being done, the ideation, we call it. We've taken an agile approach to a lot of these big projects, which some companies kind of shy away from anything that's big. We'll have to do waterfall. Loan Advisor Suite was all agile. Every module that was built was agile, and it's team development. The business sits with IT. We collaborate with them. Everyone has a stake in it. And like I'd say, we either succeed together or we fail together. It's really that type of partnership. And it's been great. It's, you know, there's not finger pointing, and, you know, it's really gotten a lot of the politics and a lot of the noise out from, you know, your traditional software development. We all have the same goals. We talked about better Freddie Mac, better housing finance system, but below those goals are ship software. We want to ship product that makes our customers happy, but also makes the industry better. And so it's been a really good relationship. I can't speak highly enough of the single family partners we've got.
I was also interested to hear about how metrics oriented you have created this department to be. And I know that, for instance, among the metrics that you keep are customer satisfaction, and that you bifurcate that into internal customer satisfaction as well as external customer satisfaction. Can you talk a little bit about the way the transformation towards a more metrics-oriented organization, number one, but also number two, the conclusions you've drawn by analyzing the statistics there?
We tied our goals into the strategic pillars, the dual goals into the strategic pillars are what we want to focus on. And then we set up objective measures and we measure ourselves, but also we benchmark those measures to make sure we're not sandbagging, right? How are we doing? Well, you know, if we just pick a measure out of the air and we don't have any idea how other companies are doing, we could be really behind the times. So one of the things we look at, external customer satisfaction. Our business partners in single family and multifamily, they do those types of measures, but we rate ourselves against them. And for example, multifamily, who I haven't talked about yet, also a very, very good business partner. They actually have a section within their survey of customers in terms of how's our technology? What do you like? What don't you like? They have a technology advisory council of customers that come together and give us ideas as to what they need as far as improvements and enhancements. So that feedback loop has been going really well as well. They, just so you're aware, multifamily, they do commercial mortgages for apartment buildings. And Freddie Mac, we have the majority share of commercial mortgage financing in the U.S. So basically one out of five apartments in the U.S. is made possible by David Brickman and the multifamily organization. It's big scale. And so we want to keep those external customers happy, but our internal business partners as well. We survey them to say, what are we doing well? What are we not doing well? And there's always things that you get from those that you learn that you're like, well, maybe we're not communicating well enough. End user technology that we're providing, they want upgrades or they want some enhancements. It's a really good dialogue to benchmark yourselves and measure your satisfaction both externally and internally. And we do that. And we've been doing it for the last 3-4 years.
I know that when the IT department that you joined wasn't necessarily at that point capable of some of the things we're talking about. And I'd love to maybe take a little bit of a stroll down memory lane and some of the transformation you embarked on in the early stages to make sure that IT was stable enough, was organized well enough to enable the sorts of things that you've been describing so far in the conversation.
Yeah, and I just always caveat this because I've heard a lot of CIOs talk and it usually starts out with, oh, well, the place was a mess when I got here. I cleaned it up and it's wonderful now and I've turned the spaghetti into, you know, perfection. That's not the case at all. And the thing is, when I arrived, it was a much different time. I have a lot of empathy for the IT leaders that preceded me because in 2008, a conservatorship hit. There's a lot of mandatory projects, cleanup projects. It was a different world, right? So yeah, so I don't want to trash my predecessors because I did not walk in their shoes. That said, when I came here, there was a lot to clean up still. And so we looked at it and about less than 50% of our technology was vendor supported. So you'd call up the vendor, they'd be like, upgrade. And it's like, well, we're 34 versions behind. And so it was a massive cleanup effort. We took that on and we spent a lot of time. It took 3 years. And now we went from less than 50% to over 90% of our technology's vendor supported. The other thing we focused on was project delivery. We tended to have the, and this is back, I think this talks to the organization and the relationship. I don't think there was a really symbiotic relationship between IT and the businesses. And as such, what happened is a lot of these big bang projects, I'd call them, and not big bang, I mean, where people would say, well, we're going to go away for 3 years, we're going to do a lot of work, and we're going to come back and we're going to deliver exactly what you want that's going to transform your business. Because really, the two sides weren't talking. The business would throw requirements over the wall to IT, IT would go away for 3 years, they'd come back, the business would be like, well, that's not what I wanted, right? We've seen this play out a lot of places. So we stopped doing the big bangs and we started by focusing on very short duration projects where we have to deliver value to the business a lot quicker. We went back to metrics. Our average time back in, say, 2011 to deliver a project was 18 months on average, 18 months before we could deliver any business value. Now, 80% of our projects deliver in 6 months and 50% deliver in 3 months or less, some business value. It's not the whole thing you get, but you basically are seeing things built on that foundation. So, you know, a lot of cleanup, and that what that's allowed us to do is now we've shifted from cleanup to maintenance. So what we've done is we've created a sustainability program to sustain that technology, and we invested as part of our core, our run IT spend every year. It doesn't have to compete with initiatives, with projects. So we do that every year. And the other thing we've been doing as far as just making sure we keep the ship running is we make sure that we capture day two costs. Every project, because we're doing some big projects, we look out in the horizon and say, what are the day two costs? And we communicate that back to our business partners. We utilize a total cost of ownership model. They get an invoice every month that shows them why are they paying what they're paying and what the future costs are going to look like, and also trends as to if their costs are going up. So that's the journey we've been on.
That's really great. I thought it was really telling, Rob, we're sitting here in your office. Next door is the CEO's office.
Yeah.
And I thought that was sort of speaks volumes as to how the organization feels about IT. I know you report to the CEO, unlike a lot of your peers. And I know from our past conversations that this is an organization that appreciates the power of technology. I mean, you talked about the numbers. You're a Fortune 50 company. Relative to the average Fortune 50 company, you have a lot less people than is typical. Technology clearly is part of that story. Can you talk a little bit about the board, the CEO, the perspectives of the leaders in terms of technology's role in helping drive change in this organization?
Absolutely. So you talk about my proximity to Don, the CEO, and he's got a background. He's run ops and tech as part of much broader things. He was the CEO of E-Trade. He's the vice chairman of JP Morgan Chase for years. So he knows ops and tech. He went to MIT, which everyone at MIT has an engineering degree, right? So he gets it, and he gets the power of technology. The thing is, the business partners, they do too now. The business partners I've mentioned, you know, Dave Lohman in single family, and David Brickman over in multifamily. There's also Mike Hutchins in INCM. All these folks understand the power of technology and how to deploy it to enable their business. So each of those folks has a what we call business technology officer. The BTOs are on my team. They're not liaisons. They literally have resources that they go to the business division head. They sit at the table with those division heads. They're part of their team, their extended team, and they work with them on technology strategy, how to enable them to achieve their goals. And they are responsible for everything from projects to keeping the lights on. So, and the thing that's really interesting is it's kind of a dual reporting relationship. But these BTOs are so highly valued by these business partners. I hear it every day that, you know, these people like Dave Staller and Tim Snyder and Brandon, and, you know, Chad are like very, very highly valued. So that's what I think has improved the relationship or enhanced the relationship over the years, is that the BTO and IT have a seat at the table. As far as the board, I'm always impressed by and somewhat stunned by how much knowledge our board has of technology. They recently created a technology working group because they want to spend more time kind of digging into technology. And at a normal board meeting, there's so many things to discuss. So these people have more technology background than you'd expect from a typical board, because we are so technology dependent here.
Rob, you've talked a bit about Agile and how iteration, more specifically, is really essential to making projects successful, especially large projects. I'm also thinking about the fact that you've pursued a good number of really massive projects. As I speak with your peers at organizations of comparable size to your own, even those as big as Freddie Mac, and I wanted to talk to you about learnings you've had from a governance perspective, practices you put in place to make sure that these projects are in fact successful and that you can proceed with confidence in pursuing so many of them of such significant size.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll tell you, you know, just to be totally transparent, we ask ourselves, how much is too much? You know, you can always scale up, but there's certain areas that you may put under strain, and you have certain, you know, choke points. So you want to make sure always that you can honor your commitments and deliver before you commit. So what we've done is we've empowered some really, really good people. There's always a business lead and an IT lead. Their job is to not only look at their own project and make sure that that big project is moving forward, but look to the sides and say, what other projects are in flight? So, you know, of course, we have an EPMO, a project management office, and so on, but we really look to those people to talk. And back to, like, it's a small company, relative small company, it's easy because we're mostly here. You don't have to, like in my old places, you know, call up Germany or Sydney, Australia or whatever. You just walk over to the other guy or gal's desk and you're like, you know what? We're doing a release. I'll give you an example. When we deployed Loan Advisor Suite on July 11th, we got the heads up that the Loan Advisor Suite team would like that weekend as their deployment weekend. We deploy, you know, thousands of changes each weekend and also throughout the week, but these big ones during the weekend. So what we've done is Loan Advisor Suite was like, we want to own that weekend effectively. But the fact that, like, you know, Alex Petito from Release Management, who owns Release Management, is able to get out there and say, we need to do this, get with the key stakeholders, bring them into a room and go, how are we going to make this happen a month before? And we got it done. Just to give you a sense, every morning I have a daily stand-up call with my direct reports. What we talk about is what happened in the last 24 hours, good and bad. Mostly bad. If there's outages, we want to talk about, well, what was the outage and what was the impact and what are we doing about it. And then we talk about what's happened in the next 24 hours. So on today's call, we talk about weekend releases. It's a moderate weekend release. But in that call, Alex was able to give everyone a heads up, and the single family BTO, Dave Stadler, was able to give people a heads up. Hey, here's what we're thinking about doing. Is this possible to give Loan Advisor Suite its own weekend? And the team was able to quickly get together and say, yeah, we can do that. You know, again, it's some of the advantages of being small versus having an army.
Well, I also wanted, before letting you go, I wanted to ask you if there are other sort of trends that you're following. As you look to a year or two or three out, I'm wondering what sorts of technology trends are particularly intriguing you.
Yeah, so we have a lot of data here. You know, we've been around since the early 70s, and we're looking at how do we use that data to both enhance our customers' experience, but also enhance the industry. So we've been talking to a lot of firms, I would say, are ahead of us in big data. But now it's funny, kind of paying it forward. We just had folks asking us about our big data program because they're looking to do something similar. So big data is something that we're really bought into. We've got a Hadoop platform here we've been using for about 2 years now, and we're getting a lot of insights from that. Other things, you know, the typical cloud computing, we've made a play there. We were early adopters of software as a service. We love software as a service, early adopters of Workday for HR. You know, we use numerous software as a service tools. From an infrastructure as a service perspective, our joint venture is fully utilizing infrastructure as a service. They're fully deploying to the cloud everything. They're doing all their development, and all production is going to run in the cloud. So, you know, we're trying it in areas. We're doing DevOps over in one of our three business areas. We're looking at potentially going into robotic process automation in some areas. We talked a month ago to AT&T. They're leaders in that field. They've been doing it for 5 years. We're trying to learn from others who are ahead of us, and we're trying to share others where we tend to be ahead.
Excellent. Well, good. Rob Lux, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great conversation.
Great. Thank you so much, Peter.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.